Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
I have now before me Aoife Barry to talk about a phenomenon that I have yet to get my head around, but which my young nieces and nephews never stop talking about. Mr. Beast, just in case at home you mightn't be familiar with it, but he is the king of YouTube, yeah. And he hit the headlines earlier this week because he has a new Amazon show coming under fire, and there's a new Amazon show coming, but he is under fire for lots of different controversies. Arts and journalist and author Aoife Barry is here to give us a crash course in all things Mr. Beast. Who is he, Aoife?
It's a very good question. And I'm sure so many people are listening to this thinking, I've seen the name in the paper. I don't know who he is. And other people will be like, yes, my child will not stop watching his videos. Or my son is obsessed with, his videos about going down and living in a cave for 7 days. Or, I really love his chocolate snacks, if they've been able to pick those up. So some people will really know everything about this massive YouTuber. Some people won't have a clue. And that is really the key, I think, to the phenomenon of the YouTube content creators who can be so incredibly famous, like him having 300 or so, maybe up to 400 million, if you include all his YouTube channels, subscribers, like millions, hundreds of millions of people follow him and the work that he does. And he's only 26 years old. He's from Kansas. When he was young, he had Crohn's disease, and it meant that he didn't really participate in sports. So instead, he got into gaming, watching videos on YouTube. And he decided, OK, this is kind of a world that I can take part in.
Because he's the ultimate child of the internet.
Yes.
Who appeals mostly, his audience is mostly children.
Mostly children. And I think because he started when he was young, he was appealing to people who were around his age. But he was actually picking up a lot of viewers, who were a lot younger than him. And a lot of kids love watching his stuff because he started off doing kind of pretty mindless things. Like his first viral video was him counting to 100,000. So he had like 6.5 million people watching that video. And he realised people want to actually see these kind of mad things happen. And he's grown and changed.
Is it like stunts and tricks?
Now it is, exactly. So yeah. It started off doing those weird viral things. Then he started introducing a little bit of philanthropy, as he calls it, where he was going up to homeless people on the street and giving them large amounts of money. And then he started evolving in the last few years into those stunts and tricks. So he has a video, for example, that went up recently that was, will this guy, this person who's taking part, survive the toughest obstacle course in the world? And he had made an obstacle course, this huge obstacle course in North Carolina, in this big kind of compound that he lives and works from. And you go watch and it looks really, really impressive. I mean, he even did a version of the Squid Games, the Netflix show before that was actually turned into a game show by Netflix.
His hometown has been completely changed by it. But what I find phenomenal, the only numbers that are bigger than his YouTube numbers are following is the amount of money that he is making.
So much money.
According to Forbes, no less.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, people say he makes around $600 million to $700 million a year and that brands will pay him allegedly around $2 to $3 million.
How does that work out? Like, when you break down that, half a billion to $700 million, how is he making money and how can we do it?
I wish I knew the secret. It's definitely not to be a freelance journalist anyway if you want to make $600 million a year. I think the key with him is that he's not just getting money from one particular stream. So
revenue, presumably.
Yes, exactly. So as I explained, he makes these videos for YouTube, and as you'll know if you go onto YouTube, unless you subscribe, you pay for YouTube content, you'll get ads and they will come up at the start of the video. And if you have a particularly long video like he does, so he does videos that could be 20, 30 minutes long, there's multiple, we'll say, ad breaks. So he gets a cut of the ads that are going on. He's also, because he's the most popular individual YouTube content creator, he's going to get more out of the money from those ads anyway, because he's kind of like a premium person on YouTube. He's not like the kind of average person. He also does things where he works with brands. I mean, he's got an Australian company struck up a brand with him where they were going to use, his branding to make toy products out of that. And then he also has things like Feastables, which is his chocolate company. So again, it can be kind of confusing listening to these people thinking they're YouTubers, they make chocolate.
But he's clearly a very savvy technologist and businessman.
He is. I mean, like, he's somebody who realises and thinks, I want to be the best. So I want to be the best YouTuber. I want to be, my brand to be really big. So how do you make your brand really big? You make merchandising. If you go watch his videos, you scroll down, you'll see you can click and buy, hoodies and t-shirts with the Mr. Beast branding. That's a way of making money. He's making the money from the ads that are on the video. He's hooking up with brands to make money through them appearing on the videos too as well. And then he's making his own chocolate brand. He also had a burger called Mr. Beast Burger that was made in ghost kitchens and became very popular until he heard that some people didn't like the taste of it. And then he got involved in a kind of a litigation with the company that was making the burger.
I'm laughing here because we just got a text from a listener saying, Darby, the idea that Mr. Beast's audience is largely kids is a myth. The dads love it too. And that was from a shocked mum. but look, you know, if you're over 35 and you're watching it, or actually whatever, sometimes you're looking at these videos and going, this is inane, this is nonsense. My nieces and nephews just lap it up. And then I have to remind myself, well, what did we like when we were younger and we had, because that was our TV. Is this their medium?
Yeah, like I think what's particularly interesting about him is that he does have those kind of mindless videos where he'll have reaction videos. So he has a whole channel where he'll be watching other YouTube clips and reacting to them in real time, which is a huge phenomenon across social media. So he'll have people who just want to watch him react to videos. And then he'll have videos where he goes with the kind of gang of pals that he works with and they live down in a cave for 7 days. And he's almost kind of shouting in every video. You know, that's his charisma, is like, I'm down in a cave for 7 days. Will I survive? And so you have the drama of those kind of videos as well, too. And then you have the philanthropy videos where it's, I went to Jamaica and I built, we'll say, 100 houses for people who were poor and don't have somewhere to live.
I kind of struggle to the extent that I am familiar with Mr. Beast. And I've seen all the videos and I kind of get it. And I sometimes wonder, is it the content generation that's driving it, or is it the algorithms? Is it a little bit of both? But he is sort of noted as this philanthropist. But I find it quite exploitative because it's kind of, again, advertising, look at me helping though. And then those people feature.
Yes, they feature heavily in the videos. Yeah. So, and if you look at the comments, his fans love this. So they see him go to Jamaica and show on the video people who live in abject poverty, in a horrendous situation. And then he brings them to this house and he surprises them with the house. And in the comments, people say, wow, you're amazing. You know, you're the kind of king of YouTube, the fact that you do this. The other side to that, and I would agree with you, I would feel very uncomfortable about the fact, why do you even have to put people into these videos at all? If you're going to be a philanthropist, you know, do you have to show people in poverty and then you doing the good thing for them? Does that kind of take the gloss off it a lot? And I think he has gotten criticism from day one about that, but it's a huge part of his brand, is this idea that he's not just a YouTuber who puts up inane videos and these kind of stunt videos. He's someone who also gives back. And he does say, he puts a huge amount of money that he earns back into the company, and every cent that he earns through that philanthropy YouTube channel goes back into the philanthropy kind of pot. So I think some people are going to be a bit more cynical about that than others, and you do see how it makes his brand look a lot more appealing than those people who it's all about them, not about others.
Despite all the controversial things, he's managed, you know, to avoid controversy in a sort of a, you know, public sense so far. What's intriguing about him is that he is this child of the internet who sort of eschewed traditional media, eschewed, you know, kind of big media, and yet now we see him, is it just a stage of his evolution of maturity that he is now collaborating with them, or is it that they, the big media companies, want what he has?
They want a bit of what he has, right? Yeah. Because if you look, you know, at Amazon Prime Video, who he teamed up with for this forthcoming show, Beast Games, which is already getting under criticism for how some of the participants in the first kind of round of it have said that they were treated, and they're alleging they weren't too happy with the health and safety. The company Amazon Prime wants more viewers. It wants to draw more people in, and it looks at him and
wants
says,
those young people to and grow up with him, wherever that audience goes.
It looks at Ms. Reese says he's got 300 million subscribers. A whole chunk of them are people who can come up with us by watching his show. So that fusion of the YouTube content creators and the modern kind of contemporary offline studios is so interesting. I mean, Amazon obviously is an online company in itself in a way, but it shows that they are taking from the past of how TV studios and film studios worked and seeing that the future really is getting these content creators on board. But because you're getting this criticism of Beast Games, which, by the way, people really want to take part in because it's got a $5 million pot at the end of it that you could win, which is the biggest number ever on US TV. The thing about Beast Games is that it's a whole new phenomenon for him. It's a phenomenon for Amazon Prime. And it's a way of kind of also showing that we can bring this reality TV and gaming aspect of the YouTube
mature
TV.
Kind of, he's sort of made a lot of money on immaturity, you know, in terms of all of the little kind of tricks and the videos and everything. But is he finding that he needs to mature as a content creator and as a businessman now in light of these controversies that have come forward?
Definitely. And there's so many controversies, we can't really get into all of them. You know, some of them involve Ava Tyson, person that he worked with for a long time, and she was accused, there was grooming accusations that she denies, and she's since left the company. So that's a huge issue he's having to deal with. Also having to deal with the criticism about Beast Games, and also having to deal with videos being put on YouTube by former employees who were talking about the allegations they'll make about what they didn't like about working for the company. So in the last week or so, a memo was leaked to Associated Press that said that he's basically looking at the culture of the company and seeing what needs to be changed. And he apologised to the staff about, you know, anything that might need to change. He's 26 years old. He's been an entrepreneur since he was about, you know, 17, 18. I can only imagine what it's like to come up making a huge amount of money, set up a company on your own. And, you know, what kind of oversight is there on content creators when they are leading a company at an extremely young age, making pots and pots of money and being able to hire their friends in? I mean, you know, do they have advice of people telling them this is what you need to do around X, Y, and Z when running a company? And he's not the only young person making money as a content creator in this business world.
Barry. Author and arts journalist, the one who is making the most, which makes him most newsworthy for us today. You'll have to come back to us when you come up with another idea how we can make lots of money off YouTube. But for now, we let you go, Aoife, and we're going to take a quick break.